Hello, SFL Nation, to all of our fans and community members around the world, however you may be listening. I hope today finds you healthy and at peace. I'm Brian Craven, and this is Coach's Corner. We've got another great show for you today. Three great guests. I don't count Doug as a guest anymore. He's just somebody that follows me around and does shows once in a while. I'm kidding. I love you, bro. So, I'm not going to mess around any longer. Let's just jump right into it. I think you're going to love it. Okay, hello everybody. We are starting a new segment here on Bashing the SFL. That's also our new name for the Doug and Brian and whoever the heck else we have show. We're doing something we call prospect profiles. And our first two guys are a couple of players from the San Jose Flight. Yes, I am biased, but you can't stop me. Strong safety Adam Jones, defensive tackle Andre Krim. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Good to be here. Thanks for having us.
Welcome aboard, gentlemen.
Thank you.
We're taking this time to get to know these fellas a little bit. Not trying to put them on the spot, just get them out there, get them a little more PR. And with that, Doug, why don't you take it away?
All right. So, like we said, we're going to start this prospect profile, just kind of give the rest of the SFL a small glimpse into the minds, hearts, and souls of the prospects that are going to be popping up in the draft. So we're good. We have Andre Krim, the vegetarian with an attitude. And according to Andre, the only meat that he eats is quarterbacks.
That's right. Only so, quarterbacks.
Welcome aboard, Andre.
Thank you.
Also from the sunny state of Florida, we have Adam Jones. I think he's been referred to as Pac-Man, but
we'll
go from there.
Cubert's a little kinder.
So like Brian said, we have some questions. They're pretty simple, pretty basic. Andre, we'll go ahead and start with you.
Okay.
And Adam, just, you know, you'll be next. Andre, give us a little where are you from, a little about yourself, what you do in your free time, kind of a thing.
Well, the man behind Andre Krim is Thomas Riddell. I'm from Burlington, Ontario, Canada. It's about 45 minutes outside of Toronto. I'm a former computer repair technician who used to work at the World Trade Center.
Okay. And Adam, same question to you.
I'm from Florida, originally from Central Florida, Orlando. Actually, we got a Florida hat on right now. And I, lifelong football fan, Atlanta Falcons, FSU. I live in the panhandle now. And I also actually used to be a computer repair technician, and now I teach other people how to do it. So now I'm technically a cybersecurity instructor, cause I teach, other certifications above and beyond that.
That sounds exciting.
Sometimes.
All right. So my next question for you guys is, and this is the one I'm most curious about, how did you guys actually find the SFL, and how long have you been a part of the SFL?
You know what, I'm going to let Adam go first on this one.
Adam?
I was flipping through some TV streams, internet streams, and found 11 Sports and happened to see a game on. And I was like, what the heck is the SFL? That sounds nuts. And then I started looking into it a little bit more, and I was like, it is nuts. And then I found out people like you guys were here, and then I really knew.
Yeah.
But I started looking a little more into it, and I was like, you know, this is actually pretty cool. I'm really impressed with how organized this is, and it's really kind of an interesting thing. And of course, like I said, big time, huge sports fan. And then I slowly watched all of my dreams get crushed while every single sports league that I'm interested in, which is all of them, started to shutter, cancel seasons. And I was like, this will not do. And so I had already kind of looked into it a little bit. And I was like, you know what? I got to take the leap because these guys aren't going to be affected by this. And so I had a vacation get canceled and all kinds of stuff. And then before you know it, I'm stuck at home and I haven't left the house other than the occasional grocery run in 3 months. So probably about that time, right, I guess mid-March. So just before the minor league started. And so I was still kind of trying to get a feel for things. And I saw the minor league and I was like, you know what? This is the perfect time. I got to do this. And it's awesome because I don't know that I was ready to figure out how the majors work. Season was just rolling down. It just made perfect sense. Short-term season. Here we are.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, it's kind of funny that you mentioned, you know, when you got in, you know, it's like everything was changing and, you know, the SFL was going into the minor leagues and, you know, Craven and I, we got in last summer, right about the time, you know, non-contracts were signing and, you know, the expansion teams were coming out and stuff like that. So, yeah, it was exciting. What about you, Andre?
Well, the strange thing was I was researching NFL logos and the SFL logo showed up for some reason. And I got curious and Googled it and I went, whoa. So I said, okay, let me go check out their Discord server. And at first I was a little not sure about it. Log off and then came back the next day and said, you know what? Let's do this. And I haven't regretted it since. I mean, I haven't been this happy playing in a football game for online in ages. And I've come from the world of Madden, so this is a refresh for me. Really, really happy.
Yeah, you were part of a like a Madden type sim league, weren't you?
Yeah, still am. Just right. My last year now.
Okay, gotcha.
Oh, that's cool. So now that we've touched a little bit on how you got here and, you know, stuff like that, my question for you guys is, we'll start with Andre. Where do you want to end up? Do you want to just stay a player? Do you want to get into coaching, GM, maybe one day own a team? What are your thoughts on that?
I want to put a team in Toronto.
Andre's got a plan. Yeah, he does.
Brian's heard my plan over and over. He's probably sick of it.
Nope. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I love hearing guys come in with plans. That's part of the deal. That's one of the things that is a huge appeal to the other teams. This is nothing against someone that just wants to be a player. That's fine. Maybe that's what your life has for you. But if you want more, you're an engaged member of the community, and it makes you hugely valuable. So I love hearing your plans. Even if I've heard them before, I love hearing your plans.
Well, I tell you, Andre, if your plan is to put a team in Toronto, Andy Hamilton is the man to go to. He said before that he has plans and he has a great idea for a Toronto team.
That's right.
So he would be the one you would talk to on that. So good luck with that.
Andy and I did talk about that when he did an interview with me. So it's a possibility.
Okay. Nice.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Adam, what about you? Where do you see yourself in the future with the SFL?
That's a good question. You know, I actually, so right now, just a player, obviously, just kind of working my way into it. You know, I used to do radio a long time ago. So I've thought about getting in on the commentator side. I do a little graphic design, like you see with my background I threw together, some stuff like that. I do that kind of stuff through work, some production stuff anyway. So maybe a little of that. I don't know that I've got quite the football mind. I'm a big fan, but I'm not a big technician type person as far as that stuff goes. So I don't know that I would be at that point just yet. But maybe some behind the scenes stuff, some coordination, something like that. Not necessarily from an actual football standpoint, but maybe some of the behind the scenes stuff, and maybe work up to that stuff later. But I like it. I'm here, and I'm hoping to stick around for a little while.
Awesome.
There you go.
Well, those production and some of those are valuable skills too. You know, even if you don't feel like you're a coach candidate or something, those other things are pretty important. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I think that'd be something kind of cool to jump into.
Yeah, and I think nowadays in this league, I think that's something else that owners are looking for is the, you know, the graphics, the computer stuff, the social media stuff. So, you know, if you have any of that expertise or know-how, you know, that right there raises your draft stock a lot. So, speaking of other teams, let me ask you guys this question. Right off the top of your heads, give me two teams that you are really anxious to see develop this season and where they go and, you know, that really kind of stand out to you.
You, Adam? Go ahead.
You want me to go first? I probably, just because I've seen them get close, obviously kind of coming in toward the tail end of the season, I know Vancouver kind of made a run at it. I'd like to see them maybe take that a little bit further. And from what I've seen in the past, it looks like, you know, Queen City is kind of this storied franchise. They've got a lot to show for the past, but not so much as of late. So I'd kind of like to see them make that return. And after I did a bunch of Googling and trying to figure out where the heck Queen City was, I found out that they're in, I guess, Buffalo. And I've got a friend at work that's a big Buffalo fan, big, huge football fan. So I was kind of talking to him about it. He's a huge Bills fan. We talked about some of that. And I was like, yeah, they've got this city or this team in Buffalo. And he's like, what, dude, that's awesome. So I kind of would like to see that for him because we know Buffalo doesn't have a whole lot of success football-wise otherwise. So Queen City's kind of the
other one.
Last bastion of hope, yeah. For them in football, at least hopefully maybe in a couple years they'll turn something out again.
I love what Queen City.
Now that,
go ahead.
Now that Brady's gone, maybe Buffalo has a shot at something.
That's true. They may have a much easier path to the playoffs the next 4 or 5 years. Of course, Miami, you never know.
That's true.
Everybody trending up in that division. I was just going to say, I love what Queen City does. I don't know if you guys saw their player openings, but they just had a banner and it just said "Join or Die." And I love the stuff they do. that stuff. That was awesome. That was I just cracked up. It's pretty simple. It just says "Join or Die." It was awesome. I just love the way they approach that stuff. It's a little bit off. It's a little bit off. Well, they embrace the Corsair thing. It's just a little bit off from everybody else, and I kind of dig that.
That was awesome. Andre, what do you got?
You know, I've gotten to know a few of the owners in interviews. One guy I know I won't be on his team because the roster's full. Eddie's team, I believe they're Arizona, correct?
They're Scorpions, the yes.
Yeah. Eddie has been very helpful to me in the process. And the other team, Houston. Oh, but Houston and I quit really, really well. I really want to see how those teams develop, even if I wanted to go there, because I like the guys in charge.
Hang on a second, guys. I'm getting something over the wire here. Yep. According to my sources, Krim to Houston, confirmed. No, I'm just
You're a terrible person.
Yeah.
You go and tease a guy like that. You are a terrible person. I thought you were going to say something about Pickler being officially making an announcement.
Oh, no. That is for another show.
Okay. Okay.
So, gentlemen, as you know, I like to keep things kind of lighthearted and, you know, serious on some sides and lightheartedness on the other.
I had no idea.
If you listen to one of the other shows, we had a segment in that show. It was called Celebrity Crush. So,
Celebrity Arranged Marriage. Thank you very much.
Oh, the arranged marriage. So we're gonna throw this question out to you as the last question of our prospect profile. Adam, Celebrity Crush. Who do you got?
I'm going to go with Linda Cardellini.
Oh.
She was, I guess she was in, I'm not huge on the comic book stuff, but she was in the Avengers movies, some of them, someone's wife. Okay. She was on Freaks and Geeks back in the day, which is where I came to need to have a celebrity arranged marriage with her. I was very impressionable in the early 2000s. She's in Scooby-Doo and all this stuff, but just, you know, she's been in all kinds of shows, all kinds of movies. And I've just always, since like day one, been like, who is this lady? I have to know so much. So I'd have to go with Linda big time.
Yeah, I like that choice. I think I first saw her in that. It was kind of an awful movie, but it was funny. It was really funny. Grandma's Boy.
I just watched Grandma's Boy like 2 weeks ago. Yeah. I hadn't seen it in forever and went back and watched it. But
That movie is in a way so bad, but I laugh so hard at that movie. Horrible. It's one of those.
I started watching it, and at the beginning, I was like, "This does not hold up." And then by the end, I was like, "I was wrong. It's still pretty good." But I'm totally with you. Yeah, with her, I don't know what it is, and you know, she's kind of a sleeper. Like, not a lot of people would think of her. Like, first thing you think of, like, the big people, Scarlett Johansson, and all these big people. But Linda's just kind of, I don't know, for whatever reason, that's been it since Freaks and Geeks, so probably 20 years now.
I like it. That's an MVP move. That's
heck
good.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Okay, Andre, pressure's on.
All right. Well, this person's only been in one movie, and it was a total bomb. It was called Battleship. Her name's Rihanna.
Oh. That's a good choice.
Oh, yeah. She's only been in one movie?
Yeah, Battleship. And it was a tanker.
Wait. She was in that...
The only movie I've seen was Battleship, and it was bad.
Okay. She was in the one... It wasn't a sequel to The Fifth Element, but it was the one that came after. It was after The Fifth Element. She was in that one.
The Sixth Element. I'm just kidding.
I know.
That's a really good choice, though. That's a solid choice.
That's a solid choice.
Yeah, it is.
If you guys were to know me really, really well, I have this bad habit of liking Caribbean. And it hasn't paid off at all.
Well, I've actually converted to romantic atheism anyway, so, you know, I just think I'll love it that way. Okay, so we're going to move in. Forgive me. Doug, do you have any other sleeper questions? No, you said last question.
Yeah, that was it. I think we're done with that part.
Okay. Well, we've got a few more minutes here, and if you guys are willing, I'd like to have you weigh in on how do you feel about the league as a whole right now. In particular, I don't know if you saw in Gen 2, we had a little bit of drama going on in there earlier. How do you feel about the... And I watch them a lot. I try not to engage in general chat very much, and then unfortunately sometimes I do and I regret it. But how do you guys feel when you start? It's natural in a community this size that people are going to pick it once in a while. But are you for the trash talking and all of that? Or are you kind of, where do you fall on it, I guess, is the question I'm trying to ask.
Well, you know, it all depends on how far you take it. I mean, there is a point where you're crossing the line. You know, the Karim persona I run, he's a little bit out there. He's a little nuts. But, I mean, if you've looked at my Twitter, you know he's nuts. I've been sitting battling with Pickler for 2 or 3 days, just sitting there picking at each other.
I've been
enjoying it, you know? And I think if you take it to that, and you take it with just a friendly edge, it's fine.
Adam, how about you?
I'm kind of for it. I think it always, you know, has a little bit of a competition element, always lends itself to that kind of no matter what, even when you're on the same side. Like I've been, you know, I used to work on a very close-knit team for 10, 15 years with like the same five guys, and we would trash talk every day, even though we were practically brothers at that point. Right. And I guess when you think about that, even any sport, I mean, like people talk trash in the NFL. Technically, they all work for the same company and they all do the same job. They're
That's
just in different sections of it. But if they didn't trash talk, I don't know if it would be as exciting. So like, you know, like Krim just said, you don't want it to be so bad that it's like, oh my God, what are these guys doing? But I think as long as it doesn't go super, super crazy far, people are like threatening to kill each other or something, that, you know, it certainly lends to it because it's still fun. You know, it's kind of like if we just sat around and it's like, let's see how it goes this week. That'd be one thing, but to be like, you know what, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to show you that I'm better than you. And it kind of adds to it. I think it just kind of enhances the spirit of it. I'm all for it.
Sure. Okay.
And yeah, Brian.
Yes.
You remember that little trash talk session we had with Robert Garrett Jr.? That was fun.
I mean, I was going to say which one. Virtually every interaction we have is a fun little trash talk.
Yeah,
I remember telling him something about I was going to like beat him to death with Twinkies or something. I don't remember that one. And I don't remember exactly what it was. I will admit that sometimes with the trash talking, I kind of inwardly see a little bit of a red mist. And I'm like,
I'll kill your family. I'll erase
you. I just go bananas inwardly. Most of the time, I keep to myself. But I'm getting better at that part. I do sometimes think that I'm really close to the line, though.
I think a good trash talker is like a professional wrestler. You're trying to get a point out there. You're trying to sell yourself. It's like you're trying to sell a match. And you can really get into it after a while. I mean, I've gotten to the point where I like it.
You can get carried away a little bit. And you guys probably know, if you don't, I was really not a fan of Pickler when he came in, but he made a really salient point early on that in assembly, your persona is all you've got. And if you're gonna come in and do something like that, this is an opportunity to be something other than you are, if you wanna do that. And so I agree with him on that part. I don't tend to try to play a persona, but it's fun. If we all were just ourselves, it might be kind of boring. it could be kind of boring. So.
No, not for me.
Well, you're not actually playing a persona. You're just crazy.
Well, that's true. Everybody knows that.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Well, if I remember right, Shakespeare once said, all the world's a stage, and we all wear masks, really, don't we?
Oh, wow.
Especially online.
Just went deep on me. Holy crap. That's the deepest moment I've ever had on my show. That's the deepest moment I've ever had on it. So that's awesome. I love that. How are you guys feeling about the Miners? I mean, we got a big win for us yesterday. That was fun. Well, really a team effort, but we also had some standouts. I mean, Andre, your guy had a heck of a game.
Yeah, I'm really proud of that avatar. He did one heck of a job.
Yeah. I really enjoyed seeing Laura bust out like that. She hasn't been, like, wildly active in our locker room, but I don't know if you guys do, but early on there was a little bit of a group up with her player build. It was just something with the sliders or whatever, and so she was really small. Like the minimum size you could be, and she actually messaged me, and I hope this doesn't embarrass her, but to me it's a virtue of her. She messaged me and she said, hey, I'm not gonna get drafted with a build like that, so just give Dustin all the carries. I don't want to take space away from someone that has a shot. And to me that tells you an awful lot about her character. She's looking out. Isn't that great?
Yeah, for sure.
That's one hell of a lady.
Yeah. Exactly. So to see her have such a nice breakout game like that was really fun. I really enjoyed that. She deserved it. We all do. I mean, anyone listening, I've been saying this all along. These guys have all been fantastic. When we lost four in a row, they never got down. They're always like, all right, next game up, we're going to do it. And that's huge. And I want that out there because that's also important to your team. They need to know that about your character.
Yeah.
You know, watching her steamroll that middle linebacker
and
hit the end zone. I could barely hold back the laughter, just going, oh my God, finally she got something.
Yeah.
has worked her tail off.
Yep, it's been a good time. Well, fellas, I appreciate you taking the time to join us. You are always welcome back on the show. In fact, we want to do some rookie roundtables, and I would like to keep doing that through the season once the majors start, no matter where people are, to just get it out there. I think I'd like to see those kind of resources be out there for newcomers. You know, as you guys progress through seasoned veterans, you have a lot to offer. So hopefully you'll come back for those things. And I want to thank you again. That was just, it's been a great show. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, definitely.
Count me in on whatever. I'll definitely try to be a part of it.
All right. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, bye. Thanks you. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
My next guest is Pro Bowl linebacker and the newly appointed GM of the Las Vegas Fury, Slynn Shady. Mr. Shady, why don't you give our listeners a little bit about you, where you're from, what you do when you're not playing virtual football, and running a franchise?
Okay, hi Coach, thanks for having me on for a start. Apologies in advance for the accent for anyone listening.
No problem.
Okay, so as you can probably tell, I'm from the UK, England specifically, and more specifically a place called Stoke-on-Trent, which is near to Manchester, near to Birmingham, around that area. When I'm not GMing for Las Vegas, I'm a teacher. I'm a PE teacher or a gym teacher.
Oh, okay.
In a elementary school. And basically, my work life is just as competitive as my SFL life. I always want to win, no matter what I'm doing. So,
sure.
It's a job that scratches the competitive itch as much as the league does. Sort of outside of that, I grew up playing rugby.
Okay.
I've never played football or soccer. I've never played soccer. Grew up from the age of nine, played rugby. Played to a decent standard where a couple of the players who are in the current international teams, I've played against them at younger levels. And stopped rugby about 3 years ago and started playing your wonderful game, American football.
Oh, really? You got a lot of people playing that over there?
There's actually a relatively good league structure.
Nice.
There's not that many teams, so you know I might have to travel up to Aberdeen to play against a team which is the top end of Scotland and about maybe a 10-hour drive, something like that.
Okay.
Which probably doesn't seem that far to you, but to us that's a long way.
Right.
I imagine the standard is probably, you know, you might snigger at it if you saw us play, but it's a growing sport, and I think the interest is here, so I think it's something that's exciting to be a part of.
And that's great.
I'm really enjoying it. So I play much like my SFL counterpart, Slynn Shady. I play linebacker and sometimes safety.
When I'm playing. Okay. Way back in my playing days, I was mostly a safety, but I did play some linebacker as well. So I haven't ventured too far out of my experience either.
Yeah, well, I guess Bash Brothers for life, eh?
I guess so, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm really enjoying it. I love the position. I love just the fact that if you hit someone clean, you don't feel a thing, and they are on the floor lying in a
hit. Yes.
Love that, because in rugby, with there being no pads and no helmet, it hurts anyway.
Yeah.
But in football, I can just hit someone as hard as I can, and the pads save everything. So I love that. That's probably my favorite aspect of the game, actually.
It's nice. Yeah, it's nice. After you get a little bit older, then the injuries start piling up. But
it's still pretty good. I'm only 27 and already I feel spent. My shoulders are a mess.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually what ended my college career. Is I got a shoulder injury and the doctor was like, listen, you keep doing this, we're going to be doing this surgery every year. So just something to think about.
Oh, man. Do you do coaching then, like outside of the league?
Well, I was a high school football coach for 20 years, and yep. I stepped away from that. Now I'll now be away. This will be my third season away from that. And honestly, I'm not going to say I was burned out, but I was just tired. The grind, you know, the 80-hour yep. weeks. You're doing that with your other job. It got to be a lot. Yeah, and I found myself not watching anything else. I didn't go, you know, we'd get out here in Oregon where I live, we'd get free tickets to all the Duck games, all the Beavers games. I just wouldn't use them maybe once every 3 years because I was just done with football on Saturday. And I had to rally to get back to game planning on Sunday and get going. So the first season that I quit coaching, I probably went to 100 games. And you know what? I'm not in a hurry to get back, so we'll see what happens. I don't know if I'll get back or not.
Yeah, it got to a point where it was more of a chore rather than a hobby. A
little bit.
I used to I coached rugby when I was 18, mm-hmm. and it's just the early Sunday mornings and the cold and the wet and mm-hmm. you're the one standing on the sidelines, so you can't. You feel all that. Everyone plays. Yes. The players don't know how good they have it when they're running around in the cold because they warm up. I'm stood there, you know, trying to be enthusiastic on a Sunday morning, probably with a hangover, trying to encourage these players. And, yeah, it's tough. I'm with you. I mean, I only did it for 5 years as well, and I found it hard. So 20
it's,
years.
Yeah, it's still even. Yeah. Well, my father was a college football coach for 40 years, and so I kind of came by it naturally. But you know, I don't want to make it sound like it's a bad thing. It's just sometimes you get to the point you're like, this has been awesome, and I need to take a break, and we'll see how long that break is.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's, you know, sometimes a break can rejuvenate.
Absolutely.
Love for something, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How long have you been in the SFL? Did I ask you that already?
You haven't, no, and I haven't actually elaborated on that. So I joined the SFL at the end of season 9. So
okay.
So it's, you know, it's been a few seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is quite a common theme amongst a lot of players that I saw the season 9 championship game between Mexico City and Chicago.
Yeah,
and the production quality, the commentary, I'd never seen anything like it.
Right.
I heard about it because there was a. So I used to play a lot of Madden, mm-hmm. and that's kind of how I got into American football in the first place. And there was a YouTuber called Ryan Moody. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He was one who championed all pro football, and you can't actually get all pro football in the UK without illegally ordering it and all that sort of thing. And it won't work on a UK Xbox or a PS4.
Really?
So yeah, you have to. So Liam, the London owner, I think he's had to do some sort of technical thing that I don't understand to get his game to work. But for me, it's sort of restricted to North America, I think. Yeah. So I don't actually own the game, believe it or not. Never have. Probably never will.
Yeah. That sounds like you got to jump through a lot of hoops to make that work.
Yeah, and you know, it's not really worth it. So. I watched that game, and I got into the league through Ryan Moody. Saw that there was a London team that was an expansion team that season, and it convinced me to join. I might not have joined otherwise, but
okay.
I figured if there's a London team, there's got to be some fellow UK, you know, you saw right. enthusiasm in the league. Right. And to be honest, having seen the Season 9 Championship game and the fact that London were in the same conference as Mexico City, the chance to lay a shoulder into Ray Bentley was too great to pass up, to be honest.
I think we all want to hit Bentley a little bit, you know.
Oh,
it's a loving hit, but you want to hit him.
I have some, I've got two or three excellent screenshots of my players smashing into the ground. They tell a story that I would tell 1,000 times if I could. but yeah, and then I started with London. It was very different in them days. There was no draft, there was no no minors, none of that. I literally, between the time I joined the league and signed up to London, was probably 3 days, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd already decided I wanted to be a London player, and they didn't have much of a, much like sort of you guys now trying to build a roster from the ground up. That's what they were doing, and I was made as this sort of cornerstone of the defense, and I must have built a pretty good player because he's done well so far.
Now that was pre-progression, right? Didn't the progression era start in 11?
10. The progression started. 10? Yeah, progression started the season I started.
Oh, okay, nice. Okay.
Because pre that, I'm pretty sure it was you were allowed a certain amount of gold players, a certain amount of silver players, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like, season 10 was the first season where they gave you a cap and you had to fit within the cap. And I've got a feeling that it was something like where no one started on gold. I feel like the highest you could start was top silver.
Okay.
There was some kind of rule like that so everyone could put on the cap. And that was the I am a progression era player, basically.
I got you. Okay.
Moving into, I guess, what now is the subscription era.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to be a new era this year, aren't we?
I was unsure at first, actually. And to be honest, I think if I hadn't got the GM gig at Vegas, then Shady might have been a retired player, but I feel like it's for me, it's worth it. I know that I would miss the league too much to warrant not paying the subscription fee. And I think we've seen that a lot with the veterans that have semi-retired and come back, and so many have come back from retirement, and I think that rings true sort of throughout the league, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and interestingly enough, I we're going to touch on the retired players coming back a little bit later in the interview. Because that's been a hot button for rookies, at least. They settled down a little bit because we're not seeing them. Why don't we dig into the league a little bit itself?
Okay. Yeah.
We're closing in on the end of the SFLM season, and I know a lot of rookies listen to the show and are probably curious to know how much you've been following it.
I have seen it's been. Because of the time, it's been good actually. Because of the time difference between the UK and the US, it's with the regular season and the playoffs games. You know, it's tricky. It's sometimes it's 3 a.m.
Right.
Like playing. So with the minor league games being earlier mostly, it's been easier to sort of check in on. And sometimes I'll wake up in the morning the next day. Watch a couple, and I've really enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed seeing the players on the field, and I think interestingly enough, as a GM, you kind of look for, rather than looking for the player on the field to have an amazing game, I kind of enjoy the game, but I'm looking at the interaction within the chat in the game. So I think that kind of reveals how a rookie might be on a game day for your team. how they are with their minor league team, and you know how they are in the chat, and whether they get involved and encourage the team, and they're optimistic and don't put a downer on a loss too much, and just things like that. So I'm kind of, from a GM standpoint, looking at the way the interactions between the players off the field rather than on the field during a game, interestingly enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, a whole bunch of rookies, their ears just pricked up when they heard that. They're like, wait a minute, you're not looking at what I'm doing on the field? I've been telling them. It's not the number next to your name, bro.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I love, so a few rookies have sent me highlight packages, and I love that. I love the fact that they're getting involved in that way. And I do watch them because I find sports interesting. I like the way players sort of have their own spin on the rookie process and the drafting process. And
yeah,
it shows effort. They're putting an effort into promoting themselves, which is great.
Yes.
But the actual play on the field, so much is sort of designated by coaching and the way sort of the positions that players are put in. And the sim is, it's not random, but it's a sim at the end of the day. So, you know, if you're a GM and you're basing your decisions based on the field only, you're in this league, you're not going to be a successful GM, in my opinion. It's not going to be a successful operation. So as much as I enjoy the on the field stuff, and it's, you know, a big part of the league, and I love watching it, and it's the entertainment side of it rather than the meat and potatoes that goes into building a good team.
Yep, that's a good take. I appreciate that a lot. Are there any rookies that are standing out to you and feel free not to give away any team secrets if need be, but are there any rookies that are standing out to you?
Yeah, there definitely are. And I think the rookies that are probably know already from the interactions we've had over Discord. And I've actually spoken over the phone, I guess, to a couple of them as well. And who've been picking my brain about staff positions in the future and stuff like that. So I think it's no secret that Vegas will be looking for a running back in the draft. I don't think that's a secret, really, judging on the way the roster's been built up. And there's some great guys. Obviously, Fox Highwind is, you know, he's not only the top rated in terms of value, but he's a great guy. You know, we've had great interactions. He gets on really well with our owner as well. So, you know, the interaction with him has been very good. Connor Weston as well, amazing guy.
I was thinking of him. Yeah.
Yeah, he's really, I like him because he makes the effort to just check in with you and you know, see if you're okay. Not me having to make the effort every time to go and, you know, like, find out about them and just make sure they're still interested and stuff. And then one guy that I spoke to a lot is Ross Napoli as well. The defensive end linebacker combination from, is he San Jose?
Yeah, he played for me, yeah.
Yeah, so he, love that guy.
Yes,
you know, he gets what the league's about. He understands. His ethos is the same as mine. He seems to have similar goals. His path seems to be going along a similar path that mine went in terms of getting involved with the beat writers, and I know that he wants to. He's got ambitions about potentially being a GM. So he's someone who's definitely stood out. I love some of the names as well. Some of the names are absolutely great. I was listening to one of your podcasts, and it might have been Doug that mentioned Mike Twinscrew.
Yeah.
Now, I've spoken to him quite a lot. We don't necessarily need a wide receiver, but we've already got four, so I think it would be greedy.
Wait, you've got four?
Yeah, we've got four wide receivers, yeah.
Okay, I love that. That's outside the box. That's outside the box. I love it.
We've got our tight end from last season. I mean, I wasn't with Vegas last season, but the tight end, John Blades, has moved from tight end to our number two wide receiver now. Okay. So you have a big man on the wing.
Yeah.
And on that point, we nearly actually picked up. I felt certain we were going to get Dave. Dave Axis. Yeah. We had some great. I mean, I still speak to him now. You know.
Oh yeah.
Consider him, you know, friend in the league now.
I think we
came in quite late for him. Mm-hmm. And I mean, obviously I know his reasons now for joining you guys, and you know, I wish all the best luck for all of you. And you seem to have a really good thing over at Lone Star, so he went to the right place. But yeah, I was certain we were at one point I was like, oh, we're gonna get Nick. This will be great.
Yeah.
But that's the trials and the tribulations of being a GM, I guess.
Well, it's funny. I mean, I'm not doing GM duties for us, obviously, but Charles is very collaborative and has brought me in talking about a lot of decisions.
Yeah.
It is gut-wrenching at times. It is gut-wrenching.
You know, it's one scenario we were in with, so we had, we've got four wide receivers. We had, all the wide receivers we got all were returning from last season. A couple of them were, I think they were non-contract rookies last season, but they've foregone the draft. I don't know if they've foregone the draft to stay with the team, or it was something that happened prior to me getting there.
Okay.
And we had a spot to fill, and you know, it showed the unpredictability and the how quickly you have to change your mind about things, and how one plan seems to be going well and then you have to change your plan to another within the blink of an eye. And it's strange in a league that technically, you know, the off season seems to move slowly and rapidly at the same time.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, things move very quickly, and yet you feel like you've got all day because it's just over a Discord forum. But yeah, so we were actually in talks with Soren Storm, the wide receivers. I forgot where Soren's gone now. It might be Louisiana, is it? I'm not sure.
I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, they were going well. It was one of those situations, you know, like players often say, oh, you're in my last two teams, that kind of thing.
Right.
And then I noticed that Dave was a free agent. So I just sort of reached out to Dave, didn't know the guy that well. And within one conversation, I was, yeah, right, okay, Dave's a lower value, but I want Dave. Dave's coming. We're putting it all in on Dave. Mm-hmm. And then it sort of went on for a week or two. And when he made the final decision, it was, luckily I had a plan B and a plan C and a plan D, so we were fine. But it was one of those situations where it did hurt. It felt like a breakup, not gonna lie. It's an emotional thing. Being a GM is, it plays with your emotions. It plays with your, you know, you think you've got something sorted and then it doesn't. And it's one of those things. I imagine for the team, because we lost Robert Redford this offseason. Now, he went before I got there, so it didn't really have an effect on me, but I imagine that was a big loss for the guys.
Sure.
It's just one of those things that you have to deal with, and I think that's one of the ways that the league replicates real life very well, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I know it hurt leaving Vancouver. From the player side, it really hurt leaving Vancouver. But I had an opportunity to do something different. I knew I would have regretted it if I didn't go. And you know, Andy and I are fine. We've chatted a little bit since then. But you do develop relationships, and I'm sure as a GM, once you could kind of commit to someone, it's a relationship to you. And so I can see that.
Definitely.
We had a guy, and I'm not going to name him because I'm not interested in putting him on blast or anything. But we had a guy that we thought we had him signed. And then his name popped up with another team on the signing, on the announcements. And we're sitting there going, okay, well, thanks for letting us know.
So you didn't even know there was no prior warning?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Nope. Probably he's not good with conflict, as it were. But, dude, come on.
I mean, to be fair, for me, if that was me now, I mean, you know, if a player decides to choose another team, that's fair enough. You know,
just let me know.
You can't win every battle, but yeah, let us know so we can formulate a plan. And to be honest, if it was me, I'd be thinking, right, that's a player that I will not go after again.
Yes. Oh yeah.
And I think this is so a bit of a. I know if rookies are listening, if it is a case of you have two teams to choose from or three and you choose one, especially down the line in the future, if you're a sought after free agent, just be honest and be real. And yeah, you will keep the respect you've gained through your play on the field and you won't lose anything. And I think if you're a rookie or a player or a veteran, if you've got that reputation of, I guess to quote my own player's name, being a bit shady and, you know, not communicated very well, then the offers will start to dry up thick and fast.
Yeah, they will. Yeah, they will. I don't doubt that. Especially with so many people coming in, I think that's going to weigh even heavier on those decisions.
One thing, I mean, I only mentioned maybe three or four rookies when you asked me, but it seems like the pool of great, really great guys and girls who've come into the league and, you know, are just nice people and are enthusiastic. I feel like that pool is actually quite deep.
Yes.
I've had a lot of positive interactions. You know, not all positive. Some have turned me off slightly. But, yeah, a lot of really positive interactions and, you know, players that I believe will stick around once the whole COVID-19 fiasco, but the whole COVID-19 situation passes, because that'll be the true test.
Yes, it will.
It'll be the true test of the longevity of some of these players, and you know whether they were worth that draft pick this offseason.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, and I think you can get a sense. There have been a few that I've already seen drop out that seemed so enthusiastic when they came in.
Yeah.
And you don't know, maybe there's some other life circumstance, so there's no judgment on that. But I think that's true.
Yeah. I mean, true. I mean, I've had it myself where, you know, I've stayed with the league, but I took two seasons where I was basically a backseat, just progressing my player. Mm-hmm. And it was down to something that happened in my life outside of the SFL, which, you know, it took me a long time to recover from. And part of that was, you know, just taking time to myself and not sort of, you know, it seemed that not being as involved with the SFL, because it took up a lot of time being a GM and an owner and part of the beat writing team, I just couldn't commit to it. So, you know, it's understandable that some people might, under certain circumstances, leave the league or not progress much more. But there's going to be, it happens every off season. There's always players where they come in firing on all cylinders, and then by the end of the journey, they're down to one cylinder. You know, they might as well be rounded in something from the 1920s. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. And I think as a GM with seven positions to fill, mm-hmm. so the whole draft, it's a massive opportunity to rejuvenate a locker room, make a locker room almost great for the next three seasons at least. And that's why it's so important to get it right.
Are you feeling good about, I know early on I talked to a couple of GMs, and until they clarified a few things, we didn't have a lot of rookies opting into the supplemental draft. I think a lot of them thought they were going to get drafted at, say, offensive line and not get to do something else or whatever. Are you having good conversations about supplemental draft positions?
I'm having good conversations with the players that I expected to have a good conversation with.
Okay.
I think that, I've got the list up now, and I think we've got, according to the list that I've got on my phone, there's about 36, 37 players currently who've opted in. Or is it one of those where you have to opt out now? Have they changed it?
I would have to double check. It may be that you have to opt out now, but they've made it so that it's not, I guess, the fatal. That's not the right word, but that you're not locked in.
You're not pigeonholed into one position for the rest of your career.
And I do understand that. I understand that being a consideration for people, but... the league has to help itself too, so I thought it was a good compromise.
Yeah, and to be honest, the conversations I've had have been very much, you know, okay, they've said these are the secondary positions I want, and then a lot of the positions that I found that we are looking for in the supplemental draft. I mean, it's not certain anyway. You know, we might pick based on the player rather than the position, in the supplemental draft, a lot of the positions we have are positions where, you know, say they're not exactly lined up with the player's desires. Hey, well, this position, next season, you could quite easily move without a penalty into that position because it's a realistic change. Mm-hmm. You know, say you want to be a wide receiver, then technically, if you want to, you could play tight end for a year, move into wide receiver after that. Mm-hmm. You could play linebacker for a year and move to be a safety or a defensive end. And I think there are possibilities that rookies need to not shy away from, as much as they've relaxed the rules around it to benefit rookies, which is, it's a good thing for the league. I don't know. I think for me, it's all about getting guys who... There's no point me drafting a player in a position where they're not enjoying the lead because they're not going to stay with the team.
No, you're right.
I want players who are going to stick around for at least two seasons, so there's no point me pigeonholing someone who doesn't want to play a certain position in the supplemental draft. For me, the supplemental draft is a perfect time to pick players purely based on who they are behind their player, because there's no threat to the salary cap, there's none of that to consider. It's purely based on, for me, it'd be purely based on who they are. And if you've got someone on the board who you know is a great person and you can figure out some sort of agreement about what position they want to play and they haven't been drafted yet, then you know you're getting a great person who will stay with you potentially for 2-3 seasons for no charge, basically. So you know, it's I'm almost as excited about that as I am about the actual draft.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, hey, you know, I hear you exactly. The three people that we want to target in the supplemental are people we know, they're people we love. They're going to be huge for our team, for our culture, for on the field, everything. So we're pretty excited about that too.
Well, as long as they're not the same ones that I'm targeting, then that's fine.
You have had no conversations with them. I know this for a fact. So,
excellent. To be fair, yeah, that is one question that as we get close to the draft, I'm saying to you know players, just have you been talking to any teams? Have any teams shown a particular interest in you know your players? I spoke to Dave yesterday. I asked him a question because, like I said, you know, it's no secret that Vegas needs a running back, and I noticed that. In my head, I had it as St. Louis will need one, and then Florida might take one. And then I noticed that, unless it's not been updated, you guys don't seem to have one either that I've noticed.
Well, Sudo Nakai is a pretty darn good running back.
Yeah, so that's where I was thinking. I was wondering
if we haven't signed him yet.
Anyway, I asked Dave, I said to Dave about this, and he just sent some eyes back. So that didn't feel
Yeah, Sudo Nakai has not been signed.
I was just like, Dave, that's not what I was looking for. This is a private conversation. You can disclose, Dave, it's fine. it's just that, almost like a game you play, really. And sort of trying to gather as much information as you possibly can about not only the rookies you want, but the rookies that everyone else wants.
Yep. Yep. I don't know if you saw Garrison Blue put out a, I think it was Garrison Blue, he put out a mock draft. There's a lot of guys putting out mock drafts. And yeah. At first, I was kind of like, no, that's wrong. And then I realized, listen, these guys are having fun. They're having conversations. There's no need for me to be spoiled sport. Just be like, oh, yeah. But Garrison Blue's draft, he did some great detail on it. He did some great detail on it. He had some background stuff, team needs. There are a few that weren't right because, he had us picking Fox. And I was like, well, we like Fox, but we're not picking Fox. I can tell you straight up, we're not picking Fox. Just because of needs. But my goodness, I liked his draft. He did a fantastic job with the whole, it looked like a nice professional setup. Thomas Smith has put together some really interesting ones. He's done a lot of work. It's kind of fun seeing that stuff, even if you're reading it going, no.
So yeah. are these on Twitter then, or are they on
some of them are on Twitter. A lot of them, and here's the thing, I think probably a problem, a lot of them are just sharing them in the SFLM general chat and not in general itself. Some of them are, but they publish.
I was just going to say, you know, if you've got a mock, so this goes out to anyone listening who's got a mock draft or who wants to write an article or who wants to, you know, push their opinions on the rest of the community, which I've done for many years. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Join the beat team. Join the beat writing team. Get it on the official website. Get it in official writing. You've got your name there saying bye, whoever. Ray Bentley will put some nice graphics on it. You know, the league needs players who have got other skills who can help to make this league, as much as it is a sim league and an e-sport in a way, to make it as professional as possible.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know that I used to do what Ray does now. I used to be head up the beat writing team. Mm-hmm. So when that first got put together, I kind of was the one who was publishing all the articles, and people would send articles to me and stuff. And that was the goal, to make it as professional as possible. And we did mock drafts. We did mock drafts, and you know, it was a situation where as soon as one dropped on the website, people would go nuts. People in the chat would go crazy about it.
Yeah.
And you know, if you've got one of these things, if Garrison Blue, if you're listening, get in touch with Ray Bentley. He will publish your article. It'll probably be seen by more people because it'll get more attention. Mm-hmm. You know, and you've got more creativity. You can go into more detail. Mm-hmm. Just take the plunge. The beat writing team is there.
Yeah.
And, you know, more the merrier. The more the merrier.
Yeah. Well, and he did four rounds, too. He didn't just
rounds. That's some research, that's some commitment, that's some time.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was fantastic.
I'm impressed.
But you're right, that's the stuff we need. And I'm going to quote Johnny Pickler here. This is a sim league. It's the stuff you do. It's the other stuff you do, because obviously you're not controlling your player.
No.
I mean, I'm uncomfortable saying this because I don't really like putting a spotlight on me. I'm in the freaking Pro Bowl as a copper player my first year. It's fun. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be like completely humble. But I'm in the Pro Bowl.
We're on the same team, aren't we, actually?
Yeah, we are. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent.
So I'm in the Pro Bowl. I didn't do a doggone thing to get myself on the Pro Bowl, right? So it's what you are elsewhere that brings you to, I mean, okay, I progressed, I did all that stuff, but Charles did the game plans, all of those things, and there's been some good fortune on my part to have that happen. And they helped me build a nice player for that level. All right, that's cool. But it's the other stuff that matters, and this goes back to my original premise. You're more than the number next to your name. And so all these things that these guys are bringing are awesome. I love it. I can't believe how much the league has grown and changed in the short amount of time I've been here. I mean, I got here at the end of season 13. So, mm-hmm. you know, well, so all of that stuff is, I love that stuff. I love all of that
stuff. I've had that reality check more than ever this off season, because like I said, I took about two seasons. I was part of the league, but I didn't pay much attention to what was going on. Mm-hmm. And whereas obviously before I was, you know, doing the beat writing, GM, co-owner of London. And the difference, the amount of questions I've had to ask as a GM, which a GM shouldn't be asking because he should already know, because the league has moved on so much in that short space of time of a year, one year yeah. of your life, the league has absolutely moved a ridiculous sort of, it's taken a huge footstep. Yeah. And you know, if you go even further back, so something that might be a little bit sad, but I like going back to see some older games or see some off-season things from maybe season 8 or 7, mm-hmm. way back, with they're buried deep within the YouTube archives, you know, and just to see the how it's developed, just to see the difference,
yeah.
just to see how we've come so far from players that, you know, teams that were made up of not even all human players.
Oh, right.
Team, yeah. So it was the situation where I'm sure there was some players that, you know, they were built by the owners, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't think they were controlled by a human, because before there was any progression, you know, you could have no one behind your player. They just play at a gold level for the whole season.
Right.
But the amount of sort of steps it's taken and just the production quality and the way the league's run, the amount of people we've got within the league, mm-hmm. it's just crazy. It's crazy, and I just don't want it to grow too quickly, because I feel like, you know, there's still an element of you don't want to run before you can walk.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think I mentioned that in one of my last shows. I was part of a motorcycle forum, and it grew so fast. We had so many people coming in. It was basically about 40 or 50 of us that would get together and ride on the weekends. And it got really popular. And before too long, we had just this huge, frankly, toxic community. And the whole thing died off, you know. And I yep. remember seeing how much things were booming not too long after I joined. And I had this like, I hope we don't grow too fast. I just got here. I'd hate for this thing to go bad. I think they're managing it well, but you're right. I hope it's well tended while it's growing. Because
yeah, yeah, yeah. It's almost treat it like a, you know, a sunflower or something, you know.
Yes.
Let it grow. Let it carry its own course and just steer it in the right direction.
Yes, yes. Water it. Give it fertilizer. Yeah. Definitely.
But yeah, and just to go back to your point before, yeah, we do need to do that. We need, you know, it can't just be Cam, can't just be DPP or Marcus. It needs to be, we need new blood to come in and mm-hmm. almost see those positions as a goal, mm-hmm. and, you know, understand the steps they need to take to do that. So it is steps like getting involved with the beat writers, becoming part of the thankless task that is the stats team. Which I am so grateful for, because it makes life as a beat writer so much easier.
Oh yeah, I can see that.
And be part of it. If you've got the voice, if you're like you, Brian, where you've got a nice oaky timbre to your voice, then, you know, have a podcast, become part of the broadcast team. You know, I mean, I couldn't do that because no one wants to listen to this for 2 hours.
I think you'd be surprised. I think you'd be okay. You brought something up a little while ago. You said something about retired players.
Yes.
And we had a bit of a kerfuffle, mainly because I like using that word. We had a bit of a kerfuffle among the minors.
A bit of a to-do.
Yes. And a couple of them were just out of nowhere. You know, Matt South, for example.
I mean, to tell the truth, I didn't even know who Matt South was, and I've been in the league 5 seasons, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We heard about him because I think either Charles knew about it or he reached out to us. I don't want to say something he didn't do, so I don't know if he didn't reach out to us or not. But Charles asked, he said, hey, there's a gold quarterback if we want it. Like, what? What are you talking about? You know, and at first I thought he was talking about Pickler.
Completely out of left field.
Yeah, and then, you know, this guy signs and people are going, who the heck is this guy? And he had a couple other guys. I've said before in another episode, I don't think some of these, like if Zach Sandlin had come back, I wouldn't have called that the same thing. He played last season.
Yeah, that's much
Reggie
like
Streeter. Reggie Streeter played last season. So, you know, that's not, but how do you feel about, and by all accounts, Matt South's a great guy. I think Alan was talking to me a little bit about him. He sounds like a great guy and things happen, he had to step away. How do you feel about people coming out of the woodwork that have been gone for a while?
Yeah. I mean, to those players who have, you know, they won't have come back to the, and you'd think that they wouldn't have come back to the league knowing that there would be so many rookies ready to fill those positions, and they in theory are taking one of those positions from a plethora of new blood.
Right.
You would hope that they, you know, didn't just come back because, oh, the league's getting massive, I'm just gonna, you know, ride that train and then check out when I get bored. But in terms of retired players coming back, Streeter, players that played last season had a bit of a think about it and came back, I've got no problem with that.
Right.
Because they didn't really retire, you know.
Right.
Players who've been gone for a season plus, I wouldn't want to say that you would want to restrict people too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't want to restrict them into, oh, you've got to come back with a new player, you cannot bring your old player back. I think that might be too restrictive, considering, you know, everyone in this league puts their own spare time into it. You know, it's not a job. But I think there needs to they going forward, if this was to occur again, I would need to see some kind of penalty, whether that's, I don't want to say a penalty, but an adjustment of value, so to speak. So maybe if you've been gone for a season, you can't come back at the same value. You can only come back at a grade below or a certain amount of points below, in terms of value, below what you were prior to that. Almost like if any player's been out of the game for 3 seasons, they're going to see some regression. In real life, you would see regression.
Sure.
You know, you wouldn't come back at the same level as you left because that's just unrealistic. You will have had 3 years to get rusty. So maybe for someone like Matt South, he has been gone for, what, six seasons?
Something like that, yeah.
So maybe he loses, I don't know, six times whatever number to his value, and that renders him a bronze.
Mm-hmm.
And then that leaves him to make an informed decision, right? Do I stick with this player and have a bronze quarterback? Maybe join the minors next season, I don't know, something like that. Or do I come back with an entirely new player? It's weighing up, it gives them the chance to weigh that option up then, rather than just saying, yeah, you can come back for a season now, and then he might leave next season, come back in another 5 seasons and be still
matched
up as a gold player, which is no good for anyone. Certainly not Portland. Is it Portland that picked him up?
Yeah.
So maybe some sort of almost like a taxation system on, right, you've been retired for this long, we're going to tax you this many points.
Right. I can see that. And that's not, none of this is to dunk on him or Portland. These are the rules as they stand.
Oh, yeah.
They've done nothing wrong.
No. He's just the example.
Yeah. I like all of that. That kind of shares how I was feeling about it. And if you heard my interview with Cameron Irvine, he said something about it. I think how he put it was there need to be the decision to retire should be a weighty decision or something. I don't remember exactly how he put it.
You know, if again, if you want to make this league a sim league that simulates a real player's journey, then no player, you can't tell me that any professional player retires just like that. You know, there's no professional player. I mean, there might be one or two, but there's no professional player that thinks one day, oh, I'm going to retire, and it's the easiest decision they've ever made. No way.
No way.
It's not like me and you, where we've got to work till we're 65, and then retirement is, you know, something that's a long lost like the grass is always greener on the other side kind of thing.
Right, right, absolutely.
For these, it's a short career, so it's a big decision.
I meant to ask you earlier, and you kind of answered this already, but let's circle back around to it just in case somebody missed it or we got more of an answer for it. When you're looking at a draft pick, and this is a little bit unfair if we're talking about, say, your first pick, because, I mean, Fox Highwind has come up, a couple other guys have come up. But if you're looking at a draft pick, what's the number one thing you're thinking about?
Oh, I'm not even sure there is a number one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I feel like there's a lot of factors that go into choosing the player. Obviously, first and foremost, you've got the positional need.
Right.
But then you've also got to look at how is the board shaping up? Could you potentially, say you've got your number one in mind, maybe they could slip to number two and no one would pick them up. You know, there's also that. The strategic elements. But then for a player, I'm just looking at someone who is going to be active in the locker room, but in an effective way. So there's no point somebody being a loudmouth who's going to be really, really active, but is going to cause problems on game day, make other teams not particularly like you, rile up. I mean, I'm all for banter. I'm all for taking a mick. I'm from the UK. We kind of professionally have to learn how to do that. But there's a line, and I think I want a player who is committed to the league, has shown that they're committed by maybe joining the beat writers or doing something outside of just their player. And I'm not saying you have to, but it's a bonus. And you know, it shows commitment to more than just one season. And someone who's going to just fit in with the vibe that I want to create in the locker room. You know, I'm a new GM at Vegas. I want to sort of me, John, American, Tom, Raman, who are the sort of staff there. We want to create a locker room where people want to come back and want to return. And the first draft pick is the almost like the catalyst for that. You know, potentially that first draft pick, the remaining draft picks get picked in mind of that first draft pick, because you don't want. I'm not saying anyone does, you know, doesn't get on with another player or whatever, but you don't want to pick players who you think are going to clash in the locker room. Mm-hmm. It's basically almost like I'm just looking for a player who gets the league, understands the league, understands me, I understand them, they understand the team and the ethos we've got going, and just will be an out and out great person. Somebody who, when if they left the league, people would think, oh, wish they were staying.
Yes. Okay.
So I'm not asking much.
No, I don't think so.
No.
That's what we want too. I mean, yeah, you want to bring in good people.
Well, I like what you've done, actually. I'm impressed with the way you've started building your team.
I love everyone we've gotten. I mean, my goodness. Yeah just fantastic.
It's good. Really good situation I think you've got going there.
Yeah, I'm excited. Listen, I know you have to go. I know you've got stuff you got to do.
Yeah, busy man.
You've been a great interview, and I want to have you on the show again.
Yeah, definitely.
You'd be all right? Okay. All right. I want to do a couple of roundtable things, all kinds of stuff. So we're going to circle back around to that. Thank you so much. And God bless, man.
Thank you for having me on. I've really enjoyed it, and it's kind of great to get back into this kind of thing. I mean, the off season is the most exciting time. And when I come on again, I'd love to talk about more about, you know, the way teams have been made up, maybe analyzing rosters, stuff, you know, just stuff like that.
Sure.
And predicting how the season's going to go, because half of the fun of seeing a season play out is if it matches up with your prediction.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Well, I'll tell you what, at the very least, let's do, once we've had roster lock and all that jazz, let's do a preseason prediction show. And you're part of the deal. You're part of the panel.
Oh, yeah. Count me in.
Okay.
Doesn't matter the time, the place. I could be on a plane. I don't care.
You'll make it happen.
I mean, it's probably not going to happen, judging on the way the world is right now. But, yeah. I'm in, definitely.
Awesome.
It's been great.
Awesome. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very
much.
Thanks
so much. Thanks so much, Coach.
We'll catch you next time.
Okay. See you later.
Later. Well, that was fun. That was three great interviews with three great people. Really enjoyed putting that episode together. We're going to be cranking out those prospect profiles just one right after the other. I want to get as many people on as possible, as many people as want to be on. I want to get their names out there, let people know about them a little bit, give you a little higher profile, give you a chance to get drafted. So on that note, our time together has come to an end for now. This has been Coach's Corner. Good luck, and God bless, my friends.